This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Happy Saturday once again. You know, a few weeks ago, actually, it's a few months ago, I made some predictions, as I am wont to do. And actually, if you go back in the archives, you can listen to my predictions from a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, which unfortunately have almost without exception manifested themselves. And I must say that I wish I was wrong. I might add, and I've said this before, it's not that I'm brilliant. I'm just a poor old rancher. Water runs downhill and 2 + 2 = 4. And you know, if I can figure it out, hayseed that I am, it stands to reason that the folks in Washington, the administration, his advisors, I use that term advisedly, the morons in the Senate and the House, the intelligence community, perhaps an oxymoron, they can certainly figure out what I've figured out and what I share with you, don't you think? There has to be a living brain cell back there somewhere. So a few months ago, when this whole thing about ISIL, ISIS, Islamic State, whatever their name for themselves is today, came up, I started beating the drums. In fact, back in January, I talked about the fact how this, at that time, just several thousand man, but well-equipped army, was massing on the Syrian heights between Syria and Iraq, and that they were a tempting target all massed together out there in the open, and we were doing nothing. Well, you're all familiar with what's going on now. A few weeks ago, I talked about the fact that there's no way that this army, even with a couple dozen Abrams tanks and hundreds of armored Humvees and other equipment, which basically Barack Obama gave them by walking away from Iraq, there's no way these guys could be attacking on four fronts with just 5,000 men, which is what the government was telling them they had. You know, just a small little band. Well, now, just in the last day or two, you might have heard the reports, gee, there could be as many as 15,000 people in this army. Personally, I think it's more. I think it's a full division or more. That's 20,000 men. And you know what they are doing in terms of establishing their Islamic State / caliphate? They're incredible. I mean, really. Even for extremist Muslims, what they're doing to the populations over there is just incredible. What they're doing to women is incredible. Christians, incredible. Other sects. And we have a president who has long bemoaned the fate of women, the fate of minorities, religious freedom, blah, blah, blah. And he has done really nothing. You might have seen the reports. They were filed by New York Times correspondent, CNN correspondent, several others. They were actually taken on the helicopters. Four helicopters. Four. That's like nothing. You ever seen a helicopter work a forest fire? Four helicopters flying supplies in and taking out 25 refugees, give or take at a time. One of them, of course, crashed with too many refugees on it. But my point is that we're, you know, our abilities to render humanitarian aid, forget the military for a moment. You can't tell me that we can't get C-130 transports in there and make low-level drops. I mean, I see them fly over the ranch on training exercises in the Laramie Mountains all the time. Planes are incredible. I mean, the house shakes when they come over. That's how low they are. But we can't get a couple of those planes over there to really make a dent in the supplies these poor people need. And then, of course, we have, and I forecast this, we have our little pinprick bombing runs. We take out a mortar, we take out a piece of artillery, we take out a couple trucks. I mean, what is this? This is like fighting a fight you don't want to win. Which brings me to a bigger picture. I'm going to give you some dots. You know, I love my dots. So, Barack Obama's book, Dreams of My Father. There's two passages which really stand out. One is, and I'm paraphrasing, the most beautiful sound in the world is the call to prayers in the morning. He's speaking, of course, about in the Islamic faith, there's a call to prayers in the morning and at other times during the day. There's another passage where he says, and I'm paraphrasing, when the political winds blow ill, I will side with the Muslims. Now, that's his book before he was president. Then in 2009, he goes to Cairo, several other Muslim states, on his grand apology tour, America is terrible, they're imperialistic, they're colonial, da-da-da. He makes it clear in his books, by the way, that he hates colonial powers. And while he does not mention the United States or Israel, I think you can infer from his own writings that he includes us at the top of the colonial heap. Iraq and Syria, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, are the products of colonial France and England around 1917. They drew some lines in the sand. It was the Ottoman Empire, which was on the other side of the fence, so to speak, in World War I. So Iraq and Syria are kind of creations of the Western world, the Western colonial powers, which, by the way, France and England truly are, and I don't think America has ever been. So then Mr. Obama takes in as his chief advisor. I mean, I think she runs the show. In the end, I think we'll find that she gave the stand-down orders in Benghazi, and that's Valerie Jarrett. I think we will find in Benghazi that Ambassador Stevens was either the subject of an intricate plot which involved his kidnapping and then trade for the blind sheik, which, by the way, another dot, Obama and Holder wanted to release. Or maybe both, we're going to find that there were vast quantity of arms being shipped through that CIA annex with the consulate and the ambassador and his staff involved, and those arms were going to either the Syrian or the Libyan rebels or both. I don't think all the American weapons that ISIS has right now came just from capturing Iraqi armor. How convenient a story is that? I think they came via Benghazi. Because ISIS has been fighting in Syria for several years. That's really where they got their training. It's where they built their nucleus. Let's flash forward. Valerie Jarrett, by the way, Obama's advisor, was born in Iran. Another dot. She was the envoy, the secret envoy, that met with the Iranians that began this whole incredibly poor so-called agreement on Iranian nuclear freeze, which has never happened, and releasing assets. In other words, the sanctions were beginning to cripple Iran. They could have had regime change. We could have stopped, probably, their development of the bomb. And instead, Obama signs an agreement, which to this day has never been made public, and releases $7 billion, I think, was the first tranche, and there were just several billion more when they extended the negotiation period, which was only supposed to be 6 months. In the meantime, the centrifuges keep spinning, and Iran gets closer and closer and closer to a nuclear weapon. There's consortium between Iran and Russia, which has missile technology, and Iran and North Korea, which has missile technology. Iran's intentions to wipe out Israel and the United States are well known. Yet Obama in 2009 ignored the Iranian protesters in the streets, the Green Movement, which could have toppled the regime, and let them swing in the wind. And now he's letting them get the bomb. And he's giving them back their assets. Almost like a reward for building the bomb. Let's go to another dot. Sometime in 2009-2010, actual members of the Muslim Brotherhood, I did a whole show on this. Go back in the archives. I believe it's under Terror or International. Perhaps my producers can even put the link up. And I talked about the actual names of the Muslim Brotherhood advisors being paid for by the U.S. taxpayer in the White House and other Muslim Brotherhood advisors in the FBI and Homeland Security. You then had another dot, all of which, by the way, were appointed by Obama and Valerie Jarrett. Then you have another dot. You have that horrific terror act by Major Hassan at Fort Hood, which Obama barely spoke about and which his government has labeled almost to this day as workplace violence. Hassan is in prison and has been paid almost $400,000 since his incarceration. The victims, and we're talking scores of victims, because it's been designated as workplace violence by the government, can't get certain benefits, including VA benefits. This includes both the families of the poor guys and gals that were killed, and the families and wounded vets that were the victims of this terrorist shooting spree on a military base. There were several other terrorist incidents, one at a recruiting station in Arkansas, never mentioned by Obama, another dot. And then, of course, we have the famous picture of him bowing to King Faisal of Saudi Arabia. An American president has never bowed to another world leader, ever. Yet here is Barry, almost horizontal. His shoulders are almost horizontal with the ground. The bow is so low. All his supporters running around saying, oh, it wasn't really a bow. You know, he had a stomachache. I mean, whatever nonsense they came up with. We then have the special exemptions in Obamacare for Muslims. I don't know if you know they exist, but they do. Certain religious exemptions. Yet we have his administration fighting ardently and fortunately losing against those poor nuns, those old ladies who do such a great job for people in need, and against Hobby Lobby relative to Christian values. We have this horrific slaughter of Christians and other minority sects, some of them the oldest on the planet. In the Mideast, we don't hear a peep for months from Obama. And despite the Pentagon advisors and the CIA telling him otherwise, although he lied about that on national TV, nothing new, about the growing threat of ISIS over the past year or so, he professes to know nothing about it and calls them JVs in January. JV team. And now, when American air power could make a difference with a concerted bombing effort, not pinpricks, he holds back while Christians on a barren mountain and the Ardini, which I probably mispronounced, excuse me, those poor people, oldest kind of conglomerate sect, part Muslim, part Christian, part Jewish. I mean, really an amazing people. Did you see the videos of those poor kids going on the helicopter? I mean, limp rags of children, starving, dehydrated. Now close your eyes for a moment, if you would. Pretend you're looking at a split screen on a TV, you know, like two football games. On one side of the screen is a picture of Barack Obama, our president, playing golf in khaki shorts on a rooty-tooty golf course and resort in Martha's Vineyard. And in real time, on the other part of the split screen, you see these poor kids having to be carried into helicopters on top of a desert mountain. That's a big dot, don't you think? So all these dots come down to a show I did a few weeks ago, in which I concluded that if he's not a Muslim, he certainly has very big Muslim sympathies. But all that ties into social justice, you know. You think this immigration thing is just about votes? Well, it is. It's about trying to turn Texas blue and other states blue. It's about trying to build a bigger and bigger base, an unstoppable voting electorate for Democrats and progressives. The hell with national security, which is tied into ISIS, by the way. This is also, folks, you'll see a bunch of articles today. Look under the women's section, which talks about the education of these illegal alien children. How they're entitled to an education in American schools. What's happening to schools, how it's going to affect your kids. And guess who's paying for it? The American taxpayer. You know, it's a redistribution of wealth. Remember, and I've done shows on this, go back in the archives. Look under ideology and politics. Barack Obama sincerely believes that not only should there be a redistribution of wealth between various social and economic classes in the United States, but there should be a huge redistribution of wealth from the United States to the rest of the world. That's why this foreign aid doesn't stop. That's why he gave $47 million, another dot, to the Palestinians. That's why he tried to make Israel go back to their 1967 borders, a death knell for Israel, another dot. That's why he can barely bring himself to criticize Hamas, but he and Kerry rant over Israel showing restraint, another dot. You see, Barack Obama believes that America is in the top 1% of the world. You know the old 1% saying, the 99% and the 1%? Well, you have a 99% and a 1% in their mind in this country, and wealth needs to be redistributed between them. And then you have a 99% and a 1% in the world, and America is the 1%, and wealth needs to be redistributed from us collectively. Social justice. You know, if you think about an American president, while literally the Mideast burns, Hamas and Israel, Iran, Syria, now Libya, complete mess. I don't know if you know this because you know all this news on ISIS, etc., which the media has been fixated on, and in some cases rightly so, has obscured some other news. How about riots in Pakistan? You know, they got like 200 nukes. Seething unrest in that country. You haven't heard about it, but you will. Because that's a big problem. Imagine if ISIS could infiltrate that government. ISIS is smart dudes. I mean, they know what they're doing. They don't just run around helter-skelter. They have strategic targets, dams, water, power, oil, money. If you think about Pakistan devolving into chaos, with Iran nearing nuclear capabilities, even though I believe Israel will stop them in the end, I mean, you really have a nightmare scenario. And one that this president does nothing about. Another dot. Maybe you'll read about it in the news, huh? And then we have the Ukraine. If you listen to my show, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, I said, you know, one of the things that our lack of action, or lack of real action, in Iraq is going to manifest itself in, is Putin, who's nobody's slouch, tough and smart, and nationalistic. Putin's going to take advantage of this situation. While everybody's distracted, and while our president plays golf, while the world burns. And sure enough, you may have heard the news or not, a convoy of 280 Russian trucks and armored vehicles headed for Ukraine, close to 40,000 troops, all with offensive capabilities. I mean, they're not out there playing badminton. Tanks, rocket launchers, quick mobiles, amphibious armored vehicles, crack troops massed on the Ukrainian border, and then this convoy, which is going to hit the Ukrainian border sometime around the time you hear this radio show. You're going to see a whole bunch of hot spots pop up while everybody is fixated on ISIS and the world wrings its hand. I mean, where are the French and British? Where are the Germans? Do these guys really think they're going to be immune from what's going on there in Iraq? This ISIS army, terrorist army, is going to be, unless it's stopped now, at double division size within the next 6 months. Almost 40,000 men under arms and equipped. And they're using their money wisely. And did you know that all the oil, first of all, they're worth $2 billion because of the banks they've robbed. And they're making $1 million a day on Iraq's largest oil field, which they seized along with a bunch of other prizes. And you know, they don't know how to maintain all the sophisticated equipment that they got either through nefarious routes in Syria or took from the Iraqi army. So they're using their money to build a private contracting staff. Gee, kind of sounds like the American military. A private contracting staff to maintain all their equipment. I'll tell you what. And we don't do anything about it. Gee, another dot. Anyway, folks, nothing good is going to come of this. You know, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And evil flourishes when evil men purposely do nothing. And I'm afraid we're in for a period of time in our lives and the lives of our children where the winds of war are going to blow hot and strong across the corners of the planet. And evil, until it, in the end, is defeated, is going to flourish. I hope my new section on the website here, Family Safety, go back about 4 weeks and I did a whole show on it, including a rerun of my interview with Nancy Stewarts, National Health and Safety Director for like four presidents. I mean, she's terrific. Along with a bunch of links and articles, none of which I endorse. The only outfit I've used that I put up there, I bought one little thing from one survival outfit, and I use Northern Tool, who has been terrific. The others I don't endorse. I'm putting them up there. You check them out. You see if they're good outfits and you want to deal with them. That's totally up to you. I'm just giving you, shall we say, sources. And there are many, many sources out there. You can go to Google and find a million of them. But pay attention to that family safety column that we added. It could make a difference for you. Because, you know, there's a saying, it's actually in one of my books, Uncompahgre. Walks with Moon, who's a really one of my favorite characters, a Sioux Indian and married to Eagle Talon, a young brave, is trying to comfort Eagle Talon during a period of turmoil. And she says, "Husband, sunshine always follows rain." And that's true. But I think we're in for a time period, folks, unfortunately. And I might add, intentionally, on the part of some, where the opposite's going to be true. Rain always comes before sunshine. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I'm going to have some more stuff for you next week, things that people have not been tracking, what's happening in Europe, which I talked about 2 years ago, a bunch of shows. You might want to bone up on them because Europe is falling into the economic abyss. Some things that are happening in Africa that you're not familiar with. You know, everybody's kind of been focused on the Ebola scare. But there's other things far more evil brewing there. Because it's a, yeah, they'll be the big things, you know. They'll be the big brouhahas. But it's going to be the cumulative effect of 1,000 fires that's going to create the conflagration. And you need to know about all of them. And it's my job to tell you. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You have a great Saturday, happy and healthy week, and we'll be talking a week from now.